Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The Texas, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. The Reverend Dr. Mark Raby is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In The Great Divorce, C.S. Lewis portrays hell as pure selfishness. He paints a picture of a gray, drab town, and its worst denizens therein live lives of pure navel-gazing, pure focus on the self. And hell expands as pure individuals seek pure fulfillment, isolated from everyone else. As on earth they wanted nothing but themselves and their own desires, so in hell God gives it to them. Now, I do not think Lewis believed that this was a literal description of hell, but rather more of a commentary on how best to get there. From the beginning, sinners have always thought they knew better than God, that their desires and their will and what they wanted to do was more in line with what should be done than He who made the earth. They seek after their own selfish good above all else. Or, said another way, idolatry is pure love of the self. Idolatry is pure selfishness. An idol is not loved because it is inherently worthy of love in itself. It is mere wood or stone. The idol is loved because the idol is the incarnation of what I want. It is the incarnation of my selfish desires. It's why we continue to struggle with the first commandment, even today, when perhaps we don't have so many idols set up as they once did. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. St. Paul's therefore, in our reading today, summarizes the idolatry of Israel. Before the golden calf, they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, creating a golden calf and crediting to it what God had done to save them. This golden calf reflected their own desire for status in the world and the right to indulge in their own temporal desires. St. Paul continues, we must not indulge in sexual immorality. Sexual immorality loves only the desires of the self. It is, again, an idolatry of the self, separating the adulterer from his wife, from the congregation, from the community. It's why idolatry and sexual immorality so often go hand in hand. They are pure self-love. Finally, we must not put Christ to the test nor grumble, as the Israelites did, St. Paul warns. Despair puts Christ's word of promise to the test. It doubts that He will provide as He has promised to provide. It's ultimately the belief that you know better than He does. Do you think He doesn't know what you're going through? Do you think He doesn't know that your program is struggling? Do you think He doesn't know what you're suffering with? Each of these idolatries drive you into yourself, into what you want and what you desire, and ultimately away from Christ, and therefore also the fellowship you have with Him. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. It's utterly fascinating to me how St. Paul proceeds from here. He starts with fleeing from idolatry. And today, when we see something like that, we'd expect something like the top 10 list of ways to get rid of the idolatry in your life, a listicle of practical advice to get rid of your idols. But St. Paul doesn't do that. He dives straight into the Lord's Supper. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation, a fellowship in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation, a fellowship in the body of Christ? If you look in the Lutheran Confessions, this is the proof text all over the Lutheran Confessions for the real presence of Christ in the supper. And St. Paul's point is this. The antidote to the self-isolation of idolatry is ultimately fellowship with Christ and participation in his altar rather than the altar of idols. The Lord's body and blood, the cup that we drink, the bread we break, these are fellowship, communion, participation, union with Christ. Lewis's insight regarding self-chosen hell is that selfishness, self-love, idolatry, all of these things leave you alone and empty, separated from God, but also from one another and the fellowship that you have in the body of Christ. But turning away from self and toward Christ to the cup that we bless and the bread that we break brings the Christian into fellowship and participation and communion with God himself. And where idolatry leaves only emptiness, the Eucharist fills God's children with Christ himself and all the benefits that that entails. No need for grumbling. You have Christ. No need for sexual immorality. You have been united to Christ. No need for idolatry. The overwhelming measure of Christ fills and overflows into your lap, and so much more. Because fellowship with Christ means unity with one another, with your fellow brothers and sisters in the faith. Our hymn today preserves that truth from the scripture and from the Didache, one of the very earliest documents of the church's history. As we prayed in our hymn for the Lord to, in mercy, preserve his church from evil and guard it, to perfect it, so also we prayed, as grain once scattered on the hillsides was in this broken bread made one, so from all lands thy church be gathered into thy kingdom by thy Son. Or, as St. Paul writes, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Christ's one body, broken on the cross, is delivered in bread from the altar. That bread, broken for Christians to eat and to drink, incorporates us from every tribe and nation and tongue as grains upon the mountainside into one body and one loaf. Ponder that word a minute, incorporates. We have, of course, business language that goes around that, but there's a very much a spiritual component here too. In corpus, in body, embodied, from many, one. And so we are incorporated into Christ and into one another in him. And so incorporated, you are never alone. You are united with Christ. You have brothers and sisters in the faith, fellow sojourners who walk with you, who have suffered with you, who know the burden that you bear. No wandering around in some gray, drab town or its outer edges by yourself, but in the glorious dawn of the Son who will return with eternal healing in his wings to gather you together as one body, his very own. For you have partaken of the one bread broken for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.